Why don't we go ahead and go on the record? Good afternoon. This is the time and place notice for the scheduling conference and docket number 13-057-05 in the matter of the application of increased distribution rates and charges and make tariff modifications. My name is Jordan White, and the Commissioners have asked that I act as a presiding officer for this scheduling conference. Why don't we go ahead and begin by taking appearances. I'll start up here with
Justin Jetter for the Utah Division of Public Utilities.
Gregory Monson for Questar Gas Company. Barry McKay is with me.
Larry Williams with Summit Energy.
Gary Dodge on behalf of UAE and US Magnesium.
Curtis Chisholm with Summit Energy.
Mike McGarvey with Summit Energy.
Okay, before we proceed,
I think you have a couple more.
Oh, we did. I'm saying, do you want to go ahead and join the
sure.
the bar table there? Welcome to. We got plenty of room here, so Mr. Coleman, are you planning on? Okay, no problem.
Rick Pemberton with Seminole Energy.
Matt Madura with SEMA Energy.
Okay. Before we proceed, I'd like to try to scope things out a bit. First, I'll note that February 21, 2014, the Commission issued a report order approving one, a partial settlement stipulation regarding revenue requirement, revenue spread, and rate design filed in this docket on December 13, 2013, and also the partial settlement stipulation regarding TS tariff language filed in this docket on January 7, 2014. The purpose of this scheduling conference is to address the pleading filed by Summit Energy LLC on June 24, 2014 in this docket titled Objection to Unilateral Change in Procedure and Emergency Motion to Stay. I'll note also that UAE Intervention Group, US Magnesium, SEMA Energy Limited, and Seminole Energy Services LLC have all filed joiners to Summit's objection. I'll also note that Questar Gas Company, we'll just call them Questar, filed a memorandum in opposition to motion for stay on June 26 with a corrected version filed on June 27, 2014. In its objection, Summit requests the Commission to make certain findings with respect to a notice provided by Questar Pipeline to certain transportation service customers that reads as follows. I'm just going to read it very verbatim. Subject. QPC/QGC to begin automated confirmations. Questar Pipeline will begin electronic confirmation of nominations with Questar Gas, effective gas day Tuesday, July 1, 2014, timely cycle. Customers with questions should contact their scheduling representative, event date 5/13-2014-01:06:41 p.m. Summit also requests the Commission stay implementation of the conditions and requirements of the notice until such time as the Commission can address Summit's objection at hearing. It also requests that the Commission schedule a hearing as soon as possible. They request it June 30th this afternoon. And finally, Summit requests the Commission vacate the notice and require the company to return to work to a work group to collaborate with participants of the work group in addressing concerns identified in the stipulation and return to the Commission with results of the results for approval by the Commission. So with that, I'd like to reserve discussions regarding a potential or the proper schedule or process to address Summit's allegations regarding the termination of discussions addressing the rate case stipulation. Instead, I want to focus today just on the emergency stay. And so we'll just kind of break that up in two parts, if that makes sense. Mr. Williams, this is Summit's objection, so I'm going to go ahead and allow you to proceed and kind of help us understand your objection and your request for emergency stay.
As was stated in our filing, we received this notice, and we, at the same time, in our discussions with Questar Gas, we were told that we would no longer be able to make nominations the way that we had historically been able to make nominations. That each of the nominations would have to be on a point-by-point basis for our customers. That was a decision that was made by Questar Gas as a result of their decision intercompany to do the electronic nomination process there. That creates some significant problems for our consumers that we as marketers serve. And then also I need to explain that operationally, we have been unable to make those nominations as they have requested because their system won't allow us to make those nominations as of today. We have people working on that right now, but the way that they've explained that we could do it doesn't work, and our nominations have not been able to been filed. So operationally, we have not been able to make that happen. I know that I don't remember which other marketer had to go in at an extraordinary work cost to get their nominations done on a line by line basis. They were able to finally complete that, but the instructions that we were given have not worked at this time, and so we're trying to get this done, but I don't know if we can meet the deadline of July 1st, not because we're not trying, but because the company is not helping. They don't have anyone to help us make those nominations actually get in there.
Let me ask you this, and just to again reiterate, this is a scheduled conference. I mean, we're not taking evidence here, and I tend to allow everyone to kind of speak to their parts, and I'm jumping a little bit here because I'm going to Questar's memorandum. But let me ask you this: they did file a memorandum, and essentially the crux of their point is that this is something the pipeline did, and that the Utah Commission doesn't have jurisdiction over that. So, do you have a response to that, or help me understand kind of, if you believe that the commission may have a jurisdiction over something that the pipeline did with respect to their FERC tariff, et cetera?
Well, what the commission does have a jurisdiction over is Questar's gas actions. Number one, this was a decision that was made jointly, according to that notice, between pipeline and gas. This was not something that unilaterally was imposed upon gas by pipeline. If you read the notice, that's exactly the way it was. It's the way it was represented to us even after that notice came out and we asked for clarification. It was Questar Gas's decision that the only way in which we can make nominations from this time forward is by point by point. That they don't think that any other alternative is available, which was the whole crux of our work group part of the decision in February.
So certainly, obviously, we'll allow Questar to again help us understand the jurisdictional issue here. But one thing, at least for now, it would be helpful for me to understand. Why is this an emergency? Why does it have to be decided today? And what would be the potential?
We have consumers that today. Who will be impacted by this decision if it goes into effect tomorrow. The reason is because we're trying to make nominations the way that we have been explained, that it's been explained to us. There's reasons why that nomination or that system doesn't work in and of itself on a more general sense, but I'm going to tell you right now, operationally, we haven't been able to do it. So at the very least, the bugs haven't been worked out. They told us to do something which we can't do, and so our consumers are at risk.
Let's just, because I'm going to be jumping around here, but Dave, why don't we just turn to Questar? Help me understand. I read the notice. It's frankly a bit cryptic. What does this mean? Who actually issued it? And how is it different, I guess, than what's been done in the past? Mr. Lawson.
Thank you. The first point I want to make is that this was noticed as a scheduling conference, as you just noted. Yep. So we aren't really prepared to go into the details or the evidentiary issues that are presented. We can talk to them generally, and we will in response to your question, but we understand this is scheduling conference, and so we're here prepared to schedule whatever the commission feels it needs to do to resolve the issues that have been raised. But to put it very simply, the notice that was referred to is a notice from Questar Pipeline. It's not a notice from Questar Gas. It's a notice issued under Questar Pipeline's FERC scheme. That's a word I'm using loosely. But it's a notice issued pursuant to their FERC procedures, which I'm not intimately familiar with, but there's a procedure that they issue these kind of notices under, and they become effective. And so this is a Questar Pipeline issue. The statement was made that they did things and that Questar Gas jointly issued this notice. That's not correct. If you look at the notice, which was attached to our response, it's issued by Questar Pipeline. Questar Gas has not filed anything that can be stayed. That's the other simple point. We haven't filed a change to our tariff. We haven't asked the commission for any relief. There's nothing that we have done that can be stayed. And so, as we said in the response, we believe this is something, if there's a problem or an issue, it should be raised with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission.
Yeah, and going back to your point about this, it is a scheduling conference, but I just want to make it very clear that what I'm talking about here is understanding the process to inform the schedule. We've got a stay. They want a hearing, essentially today. We don't have time for a hearing. We're not taking evidence. We're not swearing folks in. But understanding we're not talking about the merits of the he said, she said, but the extent you can, and perhaps the fact that there's not a pipeline representative here, but I guess I'm just trying to wrap my head around what is the purpose of it. And maybe I don't know if Mr. McKay can speak to that or not, but help.
I think Mr. McKay is happy to address that.
Yeah, thank you.
The timely nominations, and maybe we'll just try it today at about 10:45 is when we, Questar Gas, needed to comply with Pipeline's notice for timely nominations for tomorrow's gas day. So already today, timely nominations needed to be in for all of those that will be transporting on Pipeline. We had to work with our upstream provider in that case. We didn't get everything right to begin with, and from what we can tell, there's some challenges out there. Everything that we have been able to see is Questar Gas that's been nominated for us to transport has been able to be completed by all of the nominating parties except for Summit. And we can see that Summit was not able to comply from what we can see that's out there, public information. We do understand that we'll have the opportunity on the evening cycle to be able to work through that. We do know that Pipeline was very accommodating with us and that they're trying to work with all the parties from what we can tell. They helped us get it right when we weren't able to on our first shot this morning. And I don't know. You could ask them if they're working with the Pipeline. But that I think is their issue. And I think I have all the confidence in the world that they'll be able to figure that out and have it completed for the evening cycle. And just so you understand, the evening cycle is that it's put in, and it will be for gas that will flow tomorrow on beginning at 8 a.m. in the morning.
And help me understand again, I don't mean to be obtuse on this, but you may have to back up to someone who's more familiar with the electric side and help me understand this. Because what I'm trying to kind of suss out is what Questar has done and what we may or may not have control over, et cetera, under the tariff versus Pipeline. So walk me through exactly your understanding of, who directed what pursuant to the stipulation.
Sure.
That's what I'm trying to understand is that what did Pipeline do that we may have control over versus Questar? You're under the commission's jurisdiction, obviously. And so help me understand that.
Let's go to what I think really that this commission does have, which we can see in our reply. We are here to, I think, schedule that and even suggest for the commission that they open up a docket probably begin with a technical conference because that would be the easiest for them to become familiar with all of the issues out there. But again, that was Questar Gas's perspective of what had happened. But we do think that we have followed and are still in the process of following the commission's order coming out of the general rate case. We've had at least three formal meetings with all of the parties interested in the particular issue that we were ordered and agreed to begin meeting on or before the end of April. We have had other meetings one-on-one, meaning that it wasn't a group meeting, in what we would term to be in compliance with the commission order, but we don't think we're done. We think that there's further meetings that we need to be doing what Questar Gas may be requiring or proposing of what we can do on our system. You should know that Questar Pipeline did attend those meetings. They've looked at the issues, and we're probably starting to dive into the merits that you'd probably want to be hearing, perhaps, but it's they attended in those meetings.
Well, let's put that aside, the issue of, you know, whether there was some kind of, you know, bad faith, et cetera, with respect to the stipulation, or whether it was holistic, et cetera. I guess I'm just trying to, again, you know, as simple as the question I can, is understanding with respect to the motion for stay, what did Questar do that we can stop today versus what Pipeline did that we can stop today? Because it's the request is for today, so we've got to make a decision today.
Right, so I'll go back to what Mr. Monson said, that we didn't send out a notice. We did participate in meetings. I don't think you want us to stop or to stay those. We think we ought to keep doing those. And we think we're acting in good faith as following the order. But it was Questar Pipeline who sent out a notice on the 13th of May that they are asking this commission essentially to stay, although they did think and observe that they think it was Questar Gas that did that. But Questar Gas did not, in our perspective, in fact, we know we didn't, send out that stay, and therefore we didn't.
Why don't we, let's ask the division if they have if they want to weigh in on this issue, if they have a better understanding potentially of maybe the jurisdictional issues.
At this point, I don't think we have.
Does anyone else, Mr. Dodge?
Yeah, I'd like to address it, and I'd like to get specifically to the question I think you're struggling with, and I think it's the right one. First of all, I'd like to give a little bit of background because I think you're being thrown in as though you were up to speed in this whole, with all these meetings that have gone on, and that obviously hasn't happened. The motions were filed very quickly because until about 2 weeks ago, the parties thought they were still negotiating in good faith to delay this deadline. And then they got a letter 2 weeks ago saying, no, we're going to go ahead July 1 after having been told, you know, maybe it could be delayed. So they had to move quickly to move for the stay. I'm told that it's too late for tomorrow. As Mr. McKay indicated, the others, I guess Summit has had a problem, and other than dealing with their inability to nominate on the system because it doesn't work the way it's supposed to, I don't know that there's much you can do for today. That doesn't mean we should walk away from the stay issue. I think you should set up a proceeding where you can decide this by the end of the month, because there's another round of this in a month when they nominate the end of July for August. Frankly, what's happened since time immemorial, since there have been marketers and transporters, is Questar Gas Company has allowed the marketers to designate an informal Questar Gas Company City Gates pool as their delivery point on Questar Pipeline. So these entities who serve my customers would go in and say, we're bringing gas from this point, this point, this point, this point, all to the city gates, and they pooled it at the city gates. They would enter instead of a contract code, because they don't currently have a contract with Questar Gas Company, they would enter an identifier for Summit or for SEMA or for Seminole. And for years and years, that's been the practice. What that allows is for these marketers to take diversity of their customers' demands, diversity of supply, diversity of transportation options, Kern River, Questar Pipeline, et cetera, get those pooled supplies to the city gates, and then manage their customers' balances and imbalances, manage the gas, the critical gas day problems when wells freeze in, supplies don't show up. They manage it in a bundled way or in a pooled way, minimizing the impact on the end use customers. In fact, that's why I think virtually every one of my customers, virtually every transporter almost, has now gone to hiring these marketers to do that, because they're able to use the diversity of the pool to eliminate problems, to minimize penalties for imbalances, etc. In the rate case, what Questar proposed, because of a one-time in a decade freeze out on the 5th of December, first time in a decade it's happened, they said that the one thing that caused was a requirement for manually handling the nominations in the Questar pipeline / Questar gas control room. It's the same control room, the same people. And it's nice they help each other, but they're the same people. That in that control room, they had to manually enter those nominations. They couldn't do it electronically. When December 5th came, they complained about that. Questar gas complained about it. It didn't affect Questar pipeline.
Can I just stop here a second here? I know it's hard not to kind of mix the issues of the rate case and the stipulation, but again, I agree with you completely that we're going to need to discuss kind of process and procedure of how to deal with that, after we address this. But help me just understand, is there anything that Questar did with respect to, this notice that the commission within its jurisdiction authority could actually do something about today?
And that's why I was giving you background, because I'm going to get to that in 1 second. It was important to understand that for decades, there's been an informal pool that these marketers have been able to nominate to. And in the rate case, they proposed to change that to require a firm upstream contract with a firm downstream contract. People came out and said that won't work, it causes all kinds of problems. Ultimately, they pulled that and instead said, we'll go to this holistic approach and meet and negotiate, right? What we did is we met twice with the entire group, and in both of them, we spent all of a few minutes addressing this issue, each time with Questar Gas Company and Questar Pipeline saying, we can work with you towards a formal pool. They wanted to institute electronic nominations, which is what the nature of the notice is. We're instituting electronic nomination. I might point out here, they're claiming that it's consistent with the FERC tariff. If so, they've been violating that FERC tariff for decades. But in any event, they wanted to institute electronic nominations, and people on this side of the aisle said, fine, you can do that, just make a formal pool. We can nominate to a formal pool concept at the Questar city gates, but to do that we need an arrangement between the suppliers and Questar gas company so that it could be nominated electronically and still pool, not lose the pool concept, which was the thing we were trying to avoid losing, among other things, in resisting the proposal in the rate case. We met twice. They spent a few minutes on each of them saying, we can work with you on that. In fact, we'll send you a draft pooling contract for our third meeting. They showed up at the last meeting and said, we changed our minds, we're not going to do that. And the rest of the meetings were all spent on an issue that wasn't even sent to that task force, and that is a new charge they want to impose on transportation customers. So to say they've been negotiating with us on this isn't really true. For two times they said they'd work with us, and then they just said abruptly, we're going to stop that, and we're going to move forward with this approach. It was not Questar Pipeline that had the problem. Questar Pipeline doesn't have to deal with downstream interruptions on a cold day that are on the Questar Gas Company side. Questar Gas Company was trying to solve its problems, and one solution to its problem, they told us, was to have these one-to-one matching contracts and eliminate the pool in the middle. Everyone on the other side said that's not acceptable. It discloses confidential information. It's anti-competitive. It will increase costs on end-use customers in the form of imbalance penalties. It will increase costs of the marketers, which will redound to the end-use customer's detriment. And so these entities tried after that to meet with them to convince them, no, there is a way to do this, and they continue to say no. To say today that it's the pipeline that issued this, we didn't do anything, is really very disingenuous. First of all, they go like this to tell you which hat they're talking from, pipeline versus gas. And secondly, it was their problem they asked Questar Pipeline to solve. And Questar Pipeline solved it for Questar Gas by ultimately saying, we're going to demand this one-to-one. What they can do, now this is getting to your question, and I wanted to give that background. What they can do is what they said they would work with us in good faith on, and that is allow these marketers to sign a pooling contract at the city gates. Then they can do the electronic nominations that they say is the whole crux of their issue, and we can still preserve the benefits of the pooling for the end use customer.
Okay, let's put a pin in that for a second, because if I'm hearing correctly, and just tell me if I'm mischaracterizing this, it sounds like, and I'm kind of trying to fuse together what Questar said in their memo and what you said, it's almost like, you know, the crux of your allegation is that somehow that, you know, Questar Gas has directed an affiliate, and again, putting aside whether that's a violation of their tariff or whatever, but essentially it's them acting to direct their affiliate pipeline in which we don't have jurisdiction over. You're saying there's alternatives to that, which is, again, something that potentially could be dealt with in further procedures. But again, my question, again, not to keep, you know, beating a dead horse here, but whether or not that was done in bad faith or switching hats or et cetera, but can the commission, I'm open to an answer here from anyone, can the commission today direct Questar Pipeline to basically, you know, put the genie back in the bottle, I guess?
No, I don't think you can. Again, they're hiding behind this switching hat thing, which I think is disingenuous, but you can't order Questar Pipeline to withdraw its electronic nomination requirement. You can direct, and we're at least UAE and US Magnet are not asking for that. We're asking for before the next nomination, it's now too late for tomorrow, before the next nomination deadline a month from now, to direct Questar Gas Company to retract its request of Questar Pipeline that it do that if it can't be done between, well, let me say it differently. The thing you can ask them to do between now and then is to give us the contract they said they were working on, enter into contracts for pooling, and then we can meet the Questar Pipeline electronic nomination requirement. It isn't that that's causing the problem, it's Questar Gas Company's refusal to continue like it has for decades to accept a pooling point at the city gates for marketers. So what you can direct in the next month is enter into that contract. And I think you ought to set a schedule that would allow you to make that order before nominations at the end of July. Secondly, I do think you could say it's your problem, Questar Gas Company, you're asking your affiliate to solve for you. I query here whether there are anti-federal antitrust implications, whether they're a violation of the non-discrimination and other requirements of FERC. We can look at that in a different context. I think it's inappropriate for these affiliates to be conspiring with each other to basically harm their competitors in supplying gas and ultimately their end-use customers. But you can, in the next month, direct them, allow the pooling to continue, even with electronics.
Let me ask you this.
Confirmation.
When did the nominations due? Because I thought I recall from Questar's memo that there was at least a representation that they're willing to continue discussions. I mean, let's just put aside for a second the commission actually directing an entity to enter into a contract. Let's just, I'm turning to Questar here with respect to when are the next nominations? What, I guess I'm just asking you to respond to Mr. Dodge's points.
We respectfully observe that we disagree with many, if not all, okay. Not all, I would say most of the characterization that he just made for.
Yeah. And
but I don't think that you're after that.
Yeah, response. I mean, I agree this, I mean, we're, and I apologize, I know there's,
yeah.
And you have the right to, yeah. Rebut any kind of allegations. I mean, we're trying to stay away from that, but we're just trying to figure out what we can do today, and then and after we actually rule on the stay, then we can talk about that. But just help me understand about
you
the
do
nomination.
Not, I mean, if the commission would like to, you can, but we do not feel that you need to order us to continue to meet with them, discuss, or talk about it. We think that we're in the process of still doing that. We're happy to do it. If you'd like to open another docket, you can. For clarification, though, and for good understanding, you need to know that this is not a once a month issue. Tomorrow, they will need to nominate for July 2nd. The next day, they'll need to nominate for July 3rd. Every day, Questar Gas will need to comply with Questar Pipeline's notice, just like all the others will need to do that. There is a beginning of another month, we don't disagree with that, but it will be like any other day that they need to move forward with doing. Sometimes people associate things with their nominations and their gas supplies by month. So it is a natural thing for them to be making changes at that time. But every day, we will need to nominate others that are transporting on Questar pipeline. We'll also need to nominate. And so that is and will continue to take place on a daily basis. There isn't a big moment that will again happen on August 1.
What does that mean when you, okay, so let's talk about tomorrow. What does that mean when you nominate for tomorrow, just to get back up a second? I mean, unless this is way too complex.
No, actually, it's a great question, and we really do think that for understanding purposes, we need to have a technical conference, just sit down and talk. It takes quite a bit of time to get into the details, but we are happy to do that. We do not have our people that do that on a regular basis and can explain and walk all the way through that process. That is not my area of responsibility, and I think we can come prepared to talk about that today.
Understood. Mr. Dodge, you know, again, if the commission were going to entertain, you know, some of the requests, help us understand the day by day. Again, Mr. Kincaid is talking about a daily nomination. You're talking about a monthly nomination. Again, we don't have a pipeline person here. We don't completely understand what this all means. So help us with this.
Well, let me, and I might ask you to let Mr. McGarvey or someone from somebody explain, respond. But the way I understand, I'm not a nominator, but I've sat down with them from several of these companies and talked to them. Today, it was a very time-consuming, laborious process to go through and nominate instead of the way they used to do it, from three or four supplies all to the city gates, one by one, matching up a supply upstream to a downstream contract, disclosing in the process who their customers are, a violation, in our view, of the contracts they've signed. But now that it's done, tomorrow, it'll all pull up and they can just say, continue. In other words, it doesn't require that laborious process each day unless you're going to make major changes. It will when the heating season begins. During the heating seasons, problems happen, fields freeze off, supplies don't show up, and they're having to go in four times a day during each cycle trying to balance all of their customers' loads with their upstream issues. And what we want is before that hits, we would like this process resolved. I'd like it resolved by the end of July when they have to go in for the next month's nominations, which may be major differences or may not. But I completely disagree with the technical comments. I don't think that, I think it's just an attempt to delay. They've now essentially, by delaying so long, made it impossible for us to have you understand this issue before they unilaterally impose this decades-long change in practice and procedure at Questar Gas Company. The fact they haven't asked you for permission is my major complaint. I think they violated their own tariff by not getting your permission for this major change in procedure. So what I'd like to schedule is a hearing on the stay. The stay, again, practically for my clients, we're not asking for you to issue an order today, staying it for tomorrow. It's too late. They told me they've got their nominations and the ones that I've taught you other than that someone apparently. But as quickly as we reasonably can, I would like to get to a hearing on our motion to stay with the intent of having you enter an order telling them you've got to continue to allow cooling. And if that's a cooling contract, then offer a cooling contract to these customers, to these marketers who are asking for it.
So I'm just trying to understand again the pipeline. And so if we had an administrative magic wand here, would it be that the commission would order Questar Gas Company to stop directing their affiliate?
No, it wouldn't be that. It would tell Questar Gas Company to allow pooling by, if necessary, doing it the way they have done. Questar Pipeline won't allow that because they're going to use electronic nominations, then by accepting a pooling arrangement with these marketers.
So,
and it could be done almost overnight. Again, that's what we were working towards in the task force. And again, failure to do that by the time we get to heating season in particular will be very damaging to the end-use customers. We'd like to get that teed up as quickly as possible. And we think it can be done in a very quick time. But frankly, I think unlike most cases, we will look to do some depositions because I want to tie people down when I can cross-examine them as opposed to just data requests on what they have and have not asked their affiliate to do, what has been the practice, et cetera, both of pipeline and of gas. luckily on the pipeline side, they have strict non-discrimination requirements that are, that I'm not sure Questar Gas believes it has to live by. If someone tells them, we'd like to drop gas off in your pipeline here and deliver it here, they have no choice but to allow that if they've got capacity. The problem is there's no here right now that Questar Pipeline could allow you to nominate to once they quit allowing the pooling on an informal basis. So we just tell them to make us have a pooling point there in contracts with the entities that want to pool.
And that's our historic, that's our historic practice, is that there has been a pooling point. It's been a non-recognized contract point by Questar Pipeline, but it has been there.
Let me ask you this. Is it incorrect to say that, you know, the assertion of the marketers is that the current practice is contrary to the tariff provisions that were just recently approved in the rate case? Is that, are you essentially saying it's a complaint that they're acting contrary to the tariff provisions approved in the settlement?
I think what has been proposed at this time was what was proposed and then withdrawn in the current tariff.
Well, hold on though, let's back up here for a second though, because you know, again, the stipulation, I mean, we're not talking about, you know, we're not having an evidentiary hearing on what holistic case right. or whatever, but we had a rate case that was approved and there were provisions on the TS talking about process going forward, but we do have an approved tariff. And so I guess the question is Questar acting contrary to the tariff that's currently approved? I mean, understanding that there was some other language about process going forward and working, et cetera, but is there an assertion that, and I'm basically asking, is there a complaint out there that Questar is violating their currently approved tariff?
And I'll try and respond to that. I think the answer is we don't have a specific tariff provision that deals with this issue, to my knowledge. So I'm at least not here alleging that I can point to a tariff provision that they're now acting contrary to. What I am saying is they have a long-term practice that is presumably compliant with the tariff before and now, that they're now changing unilaterally, and I believe under Utah utility law, they can't do that without your permission. Now, look, they have, in my view, though, violated the stipulation, and that's why we think it's proper in this docket. If you want to open a different docket, as long as we get the timing right, I don't really care, but this was the issue we were directed to go look at. How do you deal with December 5th? And the problems they had with, when they had to, once in a decade, deal with interruptions. And this is their answer to it, and they've asked Questar Pipeline to do it, to issue it, to solve their problem. It doesn't solve the other problem.
Mr. Monson, and Mr. McKay, help me respond to the question I had earlier about, again, we've got an approved tariff. Is this something that's just a variation of it? Is it something completely new, askew? Help me understand.
I'm going to give you my response. Mr. McKay may want to add something. First of all, I think now it's been admitted that there's nothing to stay today. So I think we're actually past the issue that you were concerned about, the big issue. But secondly, so now the question is there a complaint? And I think the answer to that is also no, because we haven't violated any tariff. No one's saying we violated our tariff. So I still come back to the question if they want to have a proceeding, Questar Gas is very happy to engage in a proceeding to discuss the issue of how this issue ought to be dealt with on a long-term basis from its perspective and what it can control. But I don't think there's anything before the commission to grant any relief on right now. And I think that brings us to the question then, should we schedule something? Should we open a new docket and schedule something?
Yeah, and I'm gonna take a recess here tomorrow, I promise. I'm just trying to understand the best I can in a short amount of time, but what I thought I heard Mr. Dodge say is essentially that I'm going to try to boil it down to the dumbest way possible I can, is that the Questar is essentially acting contrary to their approved tariff, contrary to the stipulation, and somehow directing. In other words, the stay that they're requesting, not today, I agree with you, that's no longer a potential option for today. But they're requesting at some point in some type of expedited fashion for the commission to direct the company to stop directing their affiliates. Is that?
Well, again, or to enter into a pooling contract. We don't care if they use electronic. This, the practice these parties are asking for is the standard in the country. We've looked and haven't found one single pipeline plus LDC combination that doesn't allow pooling between the pipeline and the LDC. We haven't found one, and we've got people who operate through most of the country. We're asking for the standard approach, which is allow a pooling contract at the city gates on Questar Gas Company, and then we don't even have to involve Questar Pipeline. They can do their electronic confirmation. We don't mind that. What we mind is them using that to prevent the pooling that's been going on for decades. So that's the gist of it. And there was an objection filed, not just the motion for a stay, an objection filed in the context of the stipulations, and you clearly have jurisdiction under your approved stipulation, which sent this away to negotiate in good faith. There is an objection that that hasn't happened and that you ought to direct them to return and come up with a different solution than the one they've imposed, or that their affiliate has imposed.
Let me ask this, the parties believe that this would be a legal issue that we need to be reviewed as to whether or not the commission has jurisdiction to direct a party to contract? Is that something that, I mean, I don't know if I know the answer to that off the top of my head, but
I didn't want to react to what Mr. Dodd just said. The commission directed the parties to meet and negotiate, and that doesn't mean the commission can now order them to reach a solution that one of the parties wants and the other party doesn't want, apparently, and I don't know the details of this. The other thing is we keep talking about changing hats and Questar Pipeline's obligations, and I know you're familiar with this. I mean, there's strict rules about us directing Questar Pipeline to do something. We can't do that. That violates FERC regulations, and we don't do that. And, you know, Mr. Dodge may think we do, but we don't. And he may think that we do, that we have negotiated in good faith. And I guess that might be something the commission could look into. But when you ask people to negotiate in good faith, that doesn't mean you mandate a solution. That means that they should negotiate in good faith, and if they can't come to agreement, they can. But we're not even saying that. We're saying we're happy to continue to meet and discuss this issue. You've heard a lot of evidentiary representations, a lot. We could respond to them, but we don't have the people here to respond to them, frankly. We didn't know that's what we were going to be doing today. But I think if you want to have legal briefs, that's fine. We think that the next best step here is to probably open a new docket. This really is no longer a general rate case issue. And open a new docket to look into this question, and we'll cooperate in proceeding with it. Mr. Dodge, on the one hand, wants it done quickly, but he wants to take depositions. Well, I'm involved in some litigation right now, and I know that when you start trying to get everybody's schedules together to do depositions, that doesn't happen very quickly usually. But we will cooperate and try to do it as quick as reasonably possible if that's what he wants to do and thinks he needs to do. But that's what we ought to do. We ought to schedule a proceeding. That's what we came here today to do. So
we agree with that. We ought to schedule it. If the proposal for another docket is something other than delay, then I'm okay with it. If it's just to delay further, I think that's inappropriate. We're here to schedule today. Whether you deem the objection as a complaint filed in a new docket or otherwise is fine, but let's get something scheduled so we can quickly, long before the heating season arrives, have this issue resolved.
Okay.
At least the stay issue, the requirement that they allow a pooling arrangement at the city gates.
I still don't see that as a stay issue. I mean, that sounds to me like a request for affirmative relief for injunction or a declaratory order or something like that. I don't know what we're staying.
Probably you will. It's a request for relief.
Well, and I guess I tend to agree a bit with Mr. Monson that I'm still trying to figure out, you know, talk about a schedule to address these issues, but I guess I'm just trying to think about what are we actually staying? Again, this goes back, and I'm not trying to in any way infuse or color the allegations that have been thrown around here, but again, my simpleton understanding here is that you're saying that Questar Gas is doing something, they're telling their affiliate to do something, and so you want us to stop them from doing that.
Well, again, let me try. The stay we're requesting is to have them stop the unilateral change in a decades-old procedure for recognizing pooling at the city gates. The way they've chosen to change that, I guess Questar just dreamed it up and decided we're going to start imposing this after decades without any input from Questar Gas. But they now have said we're going to require electronic nominations which is inconsistent with the manual nominations they do today to accommodate the pool. So what we want state is they're changing their unilateral change of procedure where they won't recognize a pool at the city gates, which they have done for decades. I think it is a state. But if the reality is that Questar Pipeline on its own, for reasons that they've never ever explained, except in the context of helping Questar Gas's problem out on interruption day, if they're saying Questar Pipeline all by itself is going off and doing this, so be it, then we'll deal with the Questar Gas side. You can order them to acknowledge pools at the city gates.
I'm going to take a brief recess here, but is there anyone else who wants to, I'm going to come back, we're going to talk about process and what makes sense and what we're going to do, but is there anyone else who wants to speak to the stay issue portion of this before we talk about how, you know, process going forward? Is there any other thoughts, comments from anyone? Okay, why don't we go ahead and go off the record and take recess. Go on the record. So, based on what I've heard this afternoon, just don't have enough to go on. There's allegations, there's requests, they're a little bit unformed at this stage. So what I'm gonna ask the parties to do is they have a right to file a complaint. Yes, Questar, and with that complaint, they would file initial testimony. And then we'd allow we'd allow for rebuttal, motions, surrebuttal, discovery, etc. And so that's gonna be the process, so we need to talk about timing for those for that process. Since this is a summit's objection, and again, and just to back up here a second, I think we all agree, or it sounds like I heard the parties agree, that we're not going to be able to stay, there's nothing to stay today. And furthermore, I'm not really sure if there's even a direct, well, let's just say that for your complaint, on what you're actually going to request. Maybe you can kind of sharpen your pencils on what the precise action requesting the commission to act on with respect to Questar, and not Questar Pipeline, I guess. In a complaint. So what, understand that with a complaint, you would file direct testimony. What would the parties want to have a date for filing those complaints? Or if it's a joint complaint, either way. I'm gonna go ahead and go off the record. What, you guys are free to, we're off the record right now. Do you want to talk amongst yourself or, you know,
George, just while you were out there,
which I liked, was that we would kind of have a dual path here, which is we set a technical conference in a fairly quick manner, but at the same time, there'd be kind of a dual track with, you know, potentially after the technical conference that would inform these complaints I'm discussing and the testimony, is that kind of what we're thinking? Is that like Questar, what you guys talked about while I was but I, certainly, you know, if these are confidential settlement discussions.
No, we were just talking procedures.
Okay.
No, the only thing I'm really hearing Gary say to you that's different than what you just proposed is that we both anticipated that perhaps having an understanding type technical conference, not necessarily persuaded, or I guess they will be accused of that on all the parties, but get their complaint out there, let us schedule up perhaps a technical conference, and follow that up, and just, I mean, if I was put in the situation trying to get testimony or everything out, that would be really hard to be doing it that fast, so that testimony maybe follow with a technical conference, and then we just follow everything, and that's the only thing that we're doing.
Yeah.
We're trying to think of what we can do to get everybody up on the same page and make sure that we're agreeing on facts. I mean, we obviously have some differences there, and we want to try to work that through so we can.
Well, let me ask you this. Do we need, I don't want to foreclose that if Gary and Larry's, you know, parties feel like they want to keep on going. I mean, but certainly we don't want to, foreclose the option of further discussions, a technical conference, et cetera. The gas marketers and their clients believe that's, help us, give us a suggestion on a path forward, understanding that we don't have enough to act on anything today.
I can give one, then I'll ask Larry to fill in. I would suggest within a week or two, maybe within 2 weeks, that those who feel like they have a complaint file a complaint and be specific about the relief they're requesting without testimony initially. We then schedule a technical conference for an available date, meeting with comparing dates and learn a ton of them. Where everyone from Questar side who needs to be here can be here and what we're here. But find a date, maybe late July, early August, for a technical conference and direct testimony soon after that, followed by rebuttal testimony, you know, a month later, something like that. And then a hearing date after that at some point, so that it's still well short of the heating season. And I'm going to actually ask for Seema and the others to weigh in as well as Summit on that, because I don't know if that addresses all their issues.
Do you guys want to go off record and chat for a minute, or before, and then we can about a schedule? I'm happy to even go ahead and go off the record. I'm happy to step out for a few minutes. You know, you understand kind of where the commission's coming from with respect to we just need some more.
I understand.
You know, so do you want me to step out for a minute? You guys can chat and maybe come back with the disclosure.
No,
okay. Well,
to come to
okay, that's fine.
A schedule that allows the commission to potentially issue an order, assuming you're persuaded, obviously, on the issue of change in procedure, the major complaint we're talking about, by the middle of September. That would allow things to be done by the time the heating season gets underway in earnest.
Okay. What if, you know, just looking at a potential hearing date, say, because I know that there's some things with other energy utility going on that first week of September. I wonder if the potential date of September 10th for hearing, is that something that we can kind of work backwards with that
one?
Sorry, what was that?
Well, how much time are you going to have for response testimony? I mean, you're going to start to get things really crunched here.
Well, that's a question, I guess, is we would pick a date for hearing and then maybe see what we're working with, wouldn't be. I don't know. I mean, if parties don't think we could accomplish what they want to get on the record, et cetera, with respect to hearing, or with respect to rebuttal and testimony, et cetera, before that date, when we need to rethink it.
Yeah. I mean, the problem we've had is we've had 6 months to address this issue and have had no traction.
Okay.
I mean, it's been Questar, you know, really, I mean, we've had very little give on the Questar gas side. And to our face at the last meeting, they said they would work with us, but.
I'm glad you mentioned that because we're gonna endeavor to do our best to address this, but you know, the fact that you mentioned this has been going on for 6 months, and this is we kind of have this this emergency state. Is we're gonna try to do what we can with it. But let me just division. Mr. Jenner had something you wanted to add.
I just want to make sure that we define the scope of this pretty clearly, because I think there's sort of two issues out here of whether we're just dealing with a complaint about following a tariff, for example, or the previous order, or if we're going to try to deal with the situation of pooling in general. I think that may need a bit more.
Well, that's a good point, because again, I heard a lot of kind of back and forth this morning, but what I'm hoping will become more apparent in these complaints is what, precise action, the issues, et cetera, and what we will be doing. I mean, I think you're right, Mr. Chair.
We're not opposed to handling either one. It's just
how
fast we can do it.
Yeah, I try to simplify it as much as I can, which is we have a tariff that was approved, and there's going to be a potential complaint that there's something that's been done by the regulated utility that's contrary to that tariff. And that's as simple as I can put it right now. And there may be something more than that, but I haven't heard anything this afternoon, at least, that would lead me to believe that we could, act on kind of what we've heard right now. And obviously, this isn't an evidentiary hearing. This is this is just kind of, again, I understand this is kind of been put together pretty quickly, but that's kind of where we're at. So I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know what their complaint's going to say. I have an idea that it's going to say something that the Questar is acted contrary to their tariff, but I'm not sure exactly what more than that we're going to be going with. Does that help? Or?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure we're not setting us a very fast-paced docket to you know, with the issue of pooling and the December 5th situation of who gets their gas cut off and how to identify those customers, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, you pose a different question, which again, I can only address what we have in front of us, but you know, is a proposed tariff revisions, or I don't know. I mean, again, we have a tariff in place. We have, you know, some assertions have been made, and so we can only do what we typically have. We can only address this in typical fashion, which is give us a question we can answer, I guess. Does that make sense?
Definitely, I'm giving as a question or a complaint that we can respond to. We are concerned, and I'll say this, that essentially, in fairness, I think being really plain forward, they're concerned about a practice that related to pooling. And so I think the issue that's going to be before you is whether or not you can order Questar, I guess, gas, and some pooling. Questar pipeline is already on a path of what they're going to do, and we are happy to show up and talk about those things. But to fully vet that issue, suddenly on a fast track, that I'll be very surprised with. And the only experience I've had when an outside party's come in and tried to ask or force a utility to do something took 2 years to do, and that wasn't a fun process. I don't think that that's necessarily the path we're on. We're going to continue to meet and talk about those things, and in some ways we may find out that all the parade of horribles aren't as bad as we thought they were, as the parties have to comply with what's been out there. But that's just, again, my opinion on it. Others are going to have different opinions. I'd be really cautious, and I am being cautious right now. As soon as you put the 10th of September, which our witnesses that I know would be here are not available, the second or the third week. So the first week they can be available. Well, they have one day, they have 15, they can be available, and then after that they begin to be available. But that gets to, you're assuming a whole lot of things with what might be the decisions or the complaint out there that we'll try. I mean, we're happy to do whatever we can do.
I mean, I'm not assuming anything. I mean, the other alternative is just to go back to the rules, have you file a complaint, and then I'm trying to find a process for something that's right now pretty liquid, I guess, and we're trying to firm up a little bit of a process. But I mean, frankly, you know, the other option is just to go ahead and file a complaint and then treat it under normal process, which is there's a 30-day. You know, I'm just trying to help out you guys.
But again, a stay was requested. There's a request for emergency relief. We can do that again and ask you to do it in another week, but we just wasted 2 weeks in the interim.
Yeah.
We understand the burden is on those complaints. I respectfully disagree with Mr. McKay. The issue isn't whether you can order them to change something, it's whether they can unilaterally make a change designed to harm their end-use customers without commission approval. If you say no to that, then they've got to fix that. And that can be done on a fairly quick basis. If there are other issues beyond that, and if the complaint also asks for, even if they are allowed to change it without permission, if we're trying to get you to order them to do something, let's pretend they've never done it before and we thought it was the right thing, we can ask for that. We can ask for a tariff change. We can ask you to impose a tariff requirement on them that says you have to recognize pooling or offer pooling contracts to marketers. That may be a longer term one, but the shorter term issue is, can they just unilaterally change a decades-old procedure that people have relied upon in entering into contracts and arranging the gas supply arrangement, et cetera, without any commission input on it. That one can be resolved fairly quickly.
What is the date you may be able to have? I understand that here, I agree with you, Mr. McKay, that this is, again, we don't know exactly, have an idea, but what dates could potentially witnesses be available for a hearing?
We have those that would be our witnesses beginning on the 22nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th of September. Or the next week.
The 24th, is that?
That's doable for us.
That gets pretty late. I thought you said the first week of September.
They're available on the 15th of September, that one day that week. They're not available at all the previous week. And then you have the holiday week of Labor Day, which is the first week of September.
What about the 4th or the 5th of September?
They're both gone.
They're gone the entire month?
No. You're going just half a month. I mean, the key people is our gas supply people, and that's their their schedule. They're available. They're about.
I'm pretty frustrated. You cleared it to September. You have to there's not a person.
No, I didn't say cleared to September. I'm saying that we easily could comply with the technical conference right away that first week of August.
We're in September for a hearing.
Right. And I'm saying in September, those people, they were way available in August, but they aren't available during those 2 weeks.
What were the days they are available?
That's what I was thinking.
What were the dates again? Cut me out.
22nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th of September. They're also available on the 15th of September.
15th? The 15th? There.
Okay.
And there was no dates on that first week, right? The 1st of September.
Holiday weeks.
All right, okay, so.
But you keep saying holiday weeks. What days are they available?
The 2nd, which is the day after the holiday.
Okay. That's
the usually, that's usually the 3rd.
Okay.
The 3rd?
Mm-hmm. Wednesday.
The 3rd or the 15th?
The concern I have here, though, is that now you're starting to put a date out there that you're all of a sudden we're going to crunch in a bunch of timing as it relates to testimony and then rebuttal. And I don't think this issue is going to be fully vetted that way. But, and I don't like the backwards process that we're going through here, trying to commit to a date that we don't even know what the real issues are that they put out there that we're supposed to respond to. We are happy to keep meeting, and we think we have. We're being accused that we haven't. I understand that one probably. But
what if we do this? What if we do this? Why don't we just put a date out there for hearing, and let's talk about the process, and let's see if it works. Let's get a starting point here, a point of reference, and then we'll go from there because you may be right. Why don't we just start with, let's go to the 15th, and then let's talk about filling in dates in between that, and what may or may not make sense. And again, that may be an unworkable proposition, I don't know. Does it make sense should we go back to the technical conference and then try to work around with the rounds of testimony with the understanding that we have a placeholder right now for a hearing on the 15th? Okay, so let's go back to
Gary, remind me which days you guys could do it last week of July.
Last week of July we could do it 29th or 30th. We could do it the 4th, 6th or 7th, that first week of August.
What about the 30th?
30th would work.
You said that would work. I guess I'm asking how you said the 30th or July work.
You know, we've got Rocky's settlement hearing that.
No.
That hearing, yeah. So 30th,
we can do it the 1st. We have so many attorneys.
The 30th. Now, is that, because I don't have to be at the stipulation, but is that, I'm turning here to staff, here's that, okay, what do you want to do on the 30th? You want to do what do we think we need?
Yeah, that was initially thought of as a technical conference, just to try to help bring up.
Okay.
People don't have to do that one, but we thought that it would be able to
different
explanations of what the issues are, and
okay,
we'll see where we agree to disagree or fight over facts.
Okay, so the 30th, you guys want to do morning, afternoon, what makes sense?
Yeah, let's do it.
10 o'clock, that's okay. Okay, so July 30th, 10 a.m. And I'm not foreclosing it. There's other, you know, I'm looking at the vision, other parties, if there's potential conflicts. I don't see the officer, but that.
We'll be able to manage it. I don't think that's anything with those.
Okay, so we have a tech conference. What do you want to do with the complaint slash direct testimony of the complainants.
And I'm going to suggest we sever those so that we can get out a docket.
Okay.
If you want to open a new docket, we can open a complaint with our request for relief in it, but not the testimony. And I'd suggest
okay.
do that no later than the 10th of July. And then I would say direct testimony maybe a week after the technical conference on the 7th. And I'm just going to throw out some dates, just writing them down what might work for me. And the 7th for direct testimony by the complainants, 3 weeks later, direct testimony by others on the 21st, and then shorter periods for the rebuttal and serve rebuttal, like the, and again, I recognize this is, in my mind, I've severed the two from the broader issues to the what I call the stay issue, or the they can't do this argument, which is part legal and part factual. If there's a broader issue of whether parties want to ask the commission to force them to, even if you don't find they violated their tariff by changing, then I think that probably needs to be on a different schedule. But on the one where we're asking you to find that they can't do what they've done properly, then I think we can be on a fairly quick schedule.
And so that was direct for just the complainants?
The direct for the complainants, I was suggesting by the 7th of August.
And then the rebuttal would be?
Rebuttal by, let's say, the 21st of August.
That's
and
2 weeks.
And then.
Hold on a second. Is that Mr.
Rocket? Well, 2 weeks. I thought you said 3 weeks.
Is that 7th to the 21st?
It's two.
Oh, that's 2 weeks.
28.
If we do the 28th, then we just may not have a last round. Sometimes the commission just does a rebuttal round for everybody, and we're content with that. Again, it may be legal as much as it is factual, but I would do at least one more round sometime before the 15th, 2 to 3 weeks after that.
So rebuttal, that would be all parties?
And that'd be maybe the 11th, 2 weeks after that. Yeah, I would say everybody do the rebuttal by the 11th.
Oh, thanks.
And then that's 4 days before the hearing.
So we would have the complaint filed July 10th, direct complainant testimony August 7th, rebuttal all parties September 11th.
No, I'm saying direct others on the 28th of August.
Oh, a direct others. Okay.
So responsive testimony by the non-complainants.
Okay.
On the 28th, and then rebuttal by everyone on something like the 11th of September, if that's enough time for the commission. That's 4 days before the hearing. And that will largely be us probably responding to what's filed on the 28th. So that's slightly less time.
Well, we'd like to suggest, and I don't know how this fits with the schedule Mr. Dodge has been looking at, but we'd like to suggest that they file their rebuttal on the 4th, and then parties have a chance on the 11th to file any response they want.
That's right, one more time, the 4th of what?
4th of September.
Let's at least push that out to the 5th. We probably need to do so. We won't see anyone else's filing until the 28th. But if you're going to have factual stuff, you file that one, you need a chance to do some quick discovery. Let's at least give us to the 5th, and I think we have a very short discovery term.
Okay.
Okay, so let me just circle back for a second. So what I, that's okay. Just hold on. Okay. What I thought I heard folks saying was that we had a complaint July 10th, direct from the complainants or complainant, whether they decided to do a joint filing or not, and then direct non-complainant August 28th, with rebuttal all, was it September 4th? Is that what you said, Barry?
4th or 5th. I mean, we said 4th. Barry said 5th.
Yeah. We proposed the 5th.
Okay. And then the hearing on the 15th?
Well, we also were suggesting with other parties, if they want to respond to that rebuttal, we'll sure rebuttal could do it on that.
Sure rebuttal. Yeah, on yeah. The 11th, all parties.
The 11th. I was thinking for a second on the 16th for hearing, but I guess we have the rock is too for
we do have a, I mean, we actually have a little bit of problem with that because our main witness is gone most of that week, the week of September 8th through the 12th. And I mean, so I guess what this is leading me to is what we propose to have the testimony done on the 15th and then have a hearing next week.
But so what would that be? The something we get the
22nd, 23rd, 24th, whichever day.
You'd have to be the 24th because there's, you know, we've got MSP meetings, those are the first two. So the 24th, is that?
That starts to really scrunch us down with the ultimate outcome.
But what's the, help us understand when will we need it, or maybe you can put this in your complaint, but when is the kind of that drop dead date for knowing that having resolution to this for purposes of the winter heating season? Why don't we go ahead and record for this?
And I'm looking around, the problem is if you agree with us and say, Questar, you can't properly do that, as I understand it, if Questar pipeline proceeds to require the electronic confirmations, what it means is that we'll have to enter into a cooling contract. Part of our testimony may well be a request that, you know, that goes simultaneously, and that they be required to submit a contract they can live with if you agree or something. But if you don't rule until after the 24th, yes, you must, then the question is how quickly will it take them to comply and negotiate a contract that's acceptable in time for the heating season. We've had people say it could easily be done in a month if people are acting in good faith and trying, but if they're not, it could drag well into the heating season, basically cause the harm that we're trying to avoid.
Well, and I suggest as part of your complaint or testing, whatever, you probably want to flesh that out in terms of, you know, give us some ideas in terms of some backstops for dates, you know, if that needs to be in order or what have you. So
if we're moving the rebuttal to the 15th and hearing the 24th, if you guys are gone that other week, then we should move our rebuttal date to the 11th. Give us some more time. You guys are gone anyway. And that gives us more than a week.
And when's my survey going?
The next week.
The
15th. Or if you want, you can.
I'd say the 8th.
We'll do it the 18th or something. I don't care what you do that next week.
Remember, we moved the hearing because the only time when people were available on that second week was the 15th. So they're not here the 16th, 17th, 18th, or 19th.
Well, okay, but if they're not here the week before, then getting it early doesn't help you.
True.
So I'm saying move our deadline to the 11th, and you tell us when you want to file your server button. Well, it's not just you, whoever's filing.
Yeah.
When you want server button to do if the hearing's on the 24th.
The commission happy? I mean, I have them not here the whole week that they're supposed to write the rebuttal, they're not here.
The week of what?
They're here the 15th, so that's one day. 16th,
you're talking 17th. About the server rebuttal?
Yeah, server rebuttal.
Well, you were proposing that's the date that you had it due. That was your proposal. So what is your new proposal?
My proposal was the 15th.
Or Surabaya.
They are here.
Yeah, they are here that day.
Okay, then we'll leave Surabaya on that day.
Okay, but we can't be Surabaya 2 days after you file your.
Well, but your guys are gone the week before. That was the reason you tried to push
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, we still can't. We still can't do it 2 days after whether.
Well, then you can't have it both ways. You can't push off the hearing because your guys are gone.
No, but
Gary, say there's only one day in 2 weeks they can look at testimony.
Gary, you were going to file your testimony on the 5th.
That was to accommodate a 15th hearing.
Okay.
And we'll
so,
do that to
so how about if we hearing. How about if we move it to the 8th?
His testimony.
Yeah.
We go on the 15th.
You guys are gone that week. I'm trying to understand what value that gives you.
Well,
you guys are gone.
This extra 3 days.
You
yeah,
don't,
yeah,
you
don't have
one day to
yeah.
deal with it.
It gives us at least time to read your testimony. I mean, we can't do it in 2 days. That's ridiculous. So
we're responding to you at that point, and you want us to do that in 1 week.
No,
okay.
No. We're filing
right,
on August 28th.
Why don't we?
That's right, and then we have 1 week at the 4th.
All right, and I'm saying take an extra 4 days and do it on the 8th.
You guys are out, so it makes no sense.
No, it doesn't.
Let's compromise
sense.
On the 9th.
No. Why not do it on the 8th?
Because you're just doing it to be mean spirited now.
No,
tell
I'm
us,
not.
You tell us your guys are out and can't even
here,
look
here,
at
here,
it.
Here,
some are out, some aren't now. Okay. The witness is here on the 8th, the attorney's not. So I'm not just doing it being mean spirited.
And what we're doing is we're giving you an extra weekend on that, and then what you're going to do in return is to crunch our time to respond.
Well, that's because you told me you have 1 day of that whole 2 weeks.
Now you understand it differently. So
yeah, well,
if we've given you more days, just keep us with the same amount of days.
Then let's move you to the 18th. You can do your reading at that point after your people are gone. You push the hearing clear to that next week. Why force Surabaya that early?
Okay, so evidently you're agreeing on the 4th and the 5th, and us giving you an extra day or so here.
Well, I'm saying let us do it on the 10th or 11th, the rebuttal, and you guys do the Surabaya anytime you want that next week. It doesn't have to be on the 15th.
So there's 1 week, 2 weeks. So you want 2 weeks to respond to our rebuttal. And you're telling us that you wanted us to respond in 2 days.
And no,
that doesn't sound really fair.
Very listen. I'm proposing that you file your direct on the 28th.
Got it.
That we have 2 weeks to respond to that, and I'll say, or 1 day less than that on the 10th or the 11th. That's the first time we will have seen anything that you file. Okay, you will have had our testimony for 3 weeks. It's the first time we will have seen anything that you file. Give us until the like the 10th or 11th to respond, and then you guys can have through the 18th to respond, which is another week, in Surabaya, and then hearings on the 24th. Or the 19th.
Essentially, I have 2 days that I have them in the office. I'm just telling the schedules. Me personally, we're disagreeing. We're agreeing to disagree of this urgency of this hearing. But this urgency of this hearing has been creating a challenge for us to meet these two people, which are witnesses' schedules.
What days are
the
they
frustration. They are gone. Okay, 60. They have the two witnesses that are remain.
You said they're here 2 days. What are the 2 days?
15, which was one.
Okay, and
I can get it back on 12.
Okay, then let us file on the 11th. That gives you their 2 days, and then you can finish the testimony through the 19th and have more than a week, and you had your 2 days with our testimony in hand.
We try to be accommodating. I mean, the timing on this scheduling ends up being a legal issue, which is what I think it is. I'll have my attorneys around all the time.
Are you guys envisioning motions? Or, oh, sorry. Let's go back on the record. Why don't we do this? Let's start off where I think you guys left it. Why don't, Mr. Dodge, if you have it, you guys can tell me where we're at right now in terms of what we have a tentative agreement on.
Yeah, well, I won't characterize it as an agreement because
okay,
I haven't
well,
heard them say that. But
a tentative proposal.
What I'm proposing.
A proposal, yeah.
Again, all of with everything, complaint, motions, whatever we're going to file, the complainants
yeah.
by the 10th. Technical conference on the 30th.
Hold a second. Let me stop you. Technical conference on July 30th. Okay.
July 30th.
Okay.
Direct testimony by complainants by the 7th of August.
Mm-hmm.
Direct testimony by others, or responsive testimony, whatever you want to call it, by the 28th of August. rebuttal testimony, all parties, by September 11th, and surrebuttal testimony by all parties by September 18th, and a hearing date on September 24th.
And Questar, did you, you know, understand this is a proposal, where were you guys at with that proposal?
What we would prefer, and we don't have an agreement obviously on this, is we'd prefer that they file their that they file rebuttal, I guess all parties file rebuttal on September 8th, and that we file surrebuttal, all parties, on, you know, we don't, I mean, it can be 15th or the 16th, I guess. I mean, our witnesses are gone, but that's, they're going to be gone anyway, so 15th, 16th, or 17th, and then Gary has 24th.
Is there somewhere you can meet in the middle of that, Gary, or?
Yeah, I mean, will you agree to 2-day turnaround on discovery? If we have, you're trying to cram us with the only time we'll see your direct testimony exhibits, everything you file, your substantive case, will be filed on the 28th of August. And you're trying to cram us down to basically 8 days, is that about right?
Definitely.
With a holiday. So that's, if you file the end of business 20, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 business days. So if you'll give me 2 business day turnaround on discovery, then I can live with it. Otherwise, you've got to give me more time. If you want a week turnaround on discovery, you've got to give me at least 2 weeks to file responsive testimony.
What about the 10th? Is that, what about the 10th for rebuttal? This is
we do the 10th, we do what, the 18th or the 19th?
Yep.
I mean, I'm just throwing their stuff off the calendar. We're not going to have to do it. Hopefully we can catch you by email.
That's okay.
I mean, yeah.
10th and then
It gives us at least eight days.
Maybe 8 or 9 days,
and then if you get hearing 3 days later.
And then do a surrebuttal on the 18th so the commission has a few days with it. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Okay, so let me we're still on the record, sorry. I know we're going on and off here a lot, but so the proposal, which I think too is tentatively in agreement with the parties here today, is the complaint or complaints, depending on how they want to actually do this, would be July 10th. Have a tech conference the morning of July 30th. Direct complainant testimony would be August 7th. Responsive direct or non-complainant testimony, however we want to characterize it, would be August 28th. Rebuttal all would be September 10th. Surrebuttal all would be September 18th, with the hearing on the 24th. Is that? What about, do we want to build a time for motion practice? You mentioned there's going to be a substantial amount of legal issues.
This is going to morph towards,
yeah.
We've already not been able to narrow the issues, and it's going to be, we got to see a complaint.
Yeah.
And if the complaint is that, hey, we think it ought to be taken into pooling, which is essentially, I think, the path that they want to have be the solution, this is a schedule that won't work for that.
What about?
We're happy to try to go forward with whatever motion they may be able to try to narrow that they want you to rule on.
What about motion practice? Like, in other words, if the company's going to file a summary judgment over August 28th, same date as the non-complainant direct.
Can you do it?
I'm not good at me. It's just based on a complaint that you guys make testimony.
Do you want that? I mean, we don't have to. I mean,
you can, well, normally we'd have to file by then, so under normal circumstances, if we're filing a motion to dismiss, so I don't see a problem with that.
We're going to try to work through this process.
Okay, well, we don't need to have, I mean, obviously you can always, the rules allow for motion practice.
Put it in as an option.
Yeah.
And do you want to put in response times for potential motions?
I just put them all on the testimony guidelines.
Okay, so you'd have motions anything or August 28th motions, right? And then responses when would be the rebuttal?
Yeah, on the
10th.
The 10th.
Yeah, replies on the 18th. Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I actually think that, you know, we've gone through this before in other proceedings where it's difficult. Sometimes you have testimony, and then it's, you know, there's legal issues that are waste, and that is, it's a little more complicated. So, discovery. And I'll turn to, do you have a proposal for discovery deadlines?
Let's see if we've got this. They can tell us what they think they need for us when we're responding by the 10th. Let's see, we've got the 28th and by the 29th. We've got to have responses within a week, at least, calendar week. That would give us around by the 5th. And they tell me that everyone's out of the country, so I don't know how it's going to be tough to get depositions like I am, especially after they file the testimony. We have to fix some dates before they file the testimony.
So you want to do like 7 days until X or what?
I think so. It ought to be 7 days from after the 28th.
So what are we doing? So seven calendar or business?
Calendar.
Seven calendar until when?
Through the 18th. And I guess probably the same thing. When you're testing it, if it's on the 10th. Oh, I'm sorry. From the 8/28 through 9/10, you know, 7 days. And then the 10th through the 18th.
So let me back up again. So from the August 28th until September 18th, is that the first time frame we're looking at for 7 days?
That's what I'm proposing. And then.
And 5 days after that.
And then 5 days after what now?
After the 18th. After the 10th,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
So 5 days thereafter?
And then
calendars,
between, there's 3 weeks there, so I think 10 days ought to be from the 7th to the 28th.
So it's the August 7th?
Yeah, from August 7th through August 28th, I'm proposing 10 calendar days, from 8/28 to 9/10, 7, 9/10 to 9/18, 5.
9/18 until when?
9/10 to 9/18. And then presumably there's nothing after the 18th.
We
have to survey. I guess 5 days is still.
There is
discussion.
So would you just want to do 9/10 thereafter, 5 days?
Yeah.
Okay, so essentially, we're going to file testimony. We have 10 days of asking them data requests.
Yes.
We file response testimony, we're only going to have 7 days.
Well, that's because you have 3 weeks between our filing and your filing. We only have 8 days.
I'm just throwing this out here right now. I mean, this is, you guys
just
are,
making sure I understand.
Yeah, well, this is what we're talking about. This isn't what we're ordering right now. This is, you guys are talking about it.
Well, whenever the company is the filing party, we get those kind of cascading 21 days and then 10.
Yeah.
We always get the short end of that.
Well, just making sure I understand
the short end of it. Although we really get the short end because it's a short time period to respond.
Yes. Well, I don't know what's happening. I have no idea. And they're gone. I mean, the blood testing, they're always good.
So that's okay. And what all Mr. McKay's saying is that we need to file a motion or ask me for something. We'll do a harassment for something and ask you if they want to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're talking from August 7th to the 28th, 10 days, August 28th to September 10th, right? Seven calendar days, is that right?
Yes.
And then 5 days thereafter.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, these are calendar, right?
Yes.
Okay, do we want to do an intervention deadline? This is...
We still are.
Well, yeah, let's go ahead and go back on record. Intervention deadline necessary.
Are you opening the docket?
What's that?
They're filing a complaint.
So they got to file a complaint.
Right. So you probably have intervention. sometime after the filing complaint.
Yeah.
No, it ought to be after direct testimony to where people can see how they're impacted.
Right.
At least the complaint is direct testimony.
And by the way, we will be possible open up when they file a complaint, all the shared documents, so yeah.
I would say that the intervention deadlines, the practical matter, ought to be the end of August. That if they're going to respond, they can file the direct down by the, in your direct. Others have to do it by the 10th, so I'd say 8:30. Give them a chance. I don't know if they're going to.
David just had the Saturday.
Corns.
So 29th.
29th. Why don't you, is it okay if we just said the 28th, or do you want it 29th?
Well, I think it ought to be after the 28th, because that's the day direct testimony by everyone else is going to be filed. Sometimes you don't know how you're impacted until you see that, so it ought to be that next week, the 2nd or 3rd of September.
Probably the 3rd of September, so it's going to be a holiday.
As a practical matter, they don't have much time to file testimony.
I guess in 7 days, if they're going to intervene.
I mean, honestly, what drives the intervention, at least in my mind, is the issue of, if you're not a party, confidentiality, things like that, and rights and discovery. So at that point, there's really not going to be much more discovery to be had. It's more of just like, again, for purposes of confidentiality and participation in the docket. Does 9-3 sound doable? Questar?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, should we do one final review and make sure we're all on the same page, and then we'll...
Please.
Okay, so the complainant or complainants will file July 10th. They'll file their complaints. There'll be a technical conference on July 30th, 10 a.m. Direct complainant testimony will be August 7th. Responsive direct testimony or non-complainant will be August 28th, along with emotions. Rebuttal testimony all will be September 10th, along with any response to motions. Surrebuttal all parties will be September 18th, along with any replies to the responses to the motions. Hearing September 24th. Intervention deadline will be September 3rd. With respect to discovery, turnaround times from August 7th to the 28th will be 10 calendar days. From August 28th to September 10th will be 7 calendar days, and 5 calendar days thereafter. Does that reconcile folks' agreement? Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I appreciate everyone's patience today in working through this. Are there any other matters, procedural issues that we need to address before we adjourn for today? It's like the office. Oh, sorry, the commission may have something. So.
Off the record, I think we need to address the excessive vacation days that the Questar personnel are taking.
Off the record. So, okay, let's go ahead and go back on the record. Mr. Jenner.
Just one thing. I wanted to clarify that if they don't file a complaint on time, then any time after that filing a complaint would just be under the normal schedule for a complaint.
Makes sense to me. I mean, this is essentially.
This is only agreed to for this.
Yeah, this is a complaint based. In other words, that's the trigger date. Is this? In other words, if they wanted to file a complaint later on at some point, then we would just go back to. This is kind of a modification of the typical complaint schedule or procedure. So that makes sense,
yeah.
Mr. Jenner. Yeah. All right. Anything else we need to address today, or we feel okay about adjourning?
I think we're good.
Okay. Thank you very much, and we'll look forward to your filings. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Let me ask him. Hey, Gary, do you know, do one of you guys know Mr. Xenophilus is how you spell his name? Is that
Damon? Oh, it's a tough one.
X-E-N.
Oh, is it on here?
No.
I think it's on here.
Oh, is that on the
service?
Okay.
It's on the service list.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't mention that little cop.